take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. You want to respond to anything we are discussing this morning or have discussed? Everybody except for Ricky and Chris, your band. Coming up Monday on the program, Dale Jackson will be with us, plus some other guests to be named later. Kind of depends on how the news cycle goes over the next few hours, I suppose, and we'll formulate the guest list based upon that. So, as always, Jeff_Poore on Twitter, you get a good sense of who's coming up on the program. But about this time every week, we are pleased to bring on our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you? Up the week. There we go.
Back home from Montgomery, finished up for the week, and ready to go back next week and really finish up.
Well, at least you're not having to hang out in Montgomery, Alabama over the weekend. It could be worse, I suppose.
It's a great place to have in your rearview mirror.
I enjoy my time in Montgomery when I'm up there to visit, but I can see how it could wear thin, if particularly in a three-block radius in the State House and the Capitol there. But nonetheless, I know we're going to go with this. You had one of the first bills out of the gate, vaccine mandate. Getting some kind of legislation, some kind of relief from the mandate, and just based on what I'm seeing, a lot of your colleagues, and you had, 19 co-sponsors, but there's five other bills that respond to the vaccine mandate in some way coming out of the Senate. What is the where are we at on that right now, I guess?
Well, I think the 19 co-sponsors and me make 20. You know, you need 24 votes, you know, two-thirds in order to move anything, since the governor did not put this topic in the call, which creates a very very high bar to get over. And so, one of the things I wanted to make sure we did was show support with co-sponsors early on that this is something that's serious, that this piece of legislation has the votes in order to move, and so that leadership, not just in the Senate, but in the House as well, saw that this was something that needed to move. And then, my colleagues and I talked about whose bill and what bill, and I've co-sponsored every other vaccine bill up there that's introduced, whether it's Senator Butler's or Senator Orr's or Senator Gaban, all of them. And, in each instance, the goal there is to show leadership and the governor across the street. This is an issue that is important to our constituents, religious liberty, and individual freedom are important to Alabama Republicans, and that's something we're gonna push forward on.
Well, it is, say what you want to, but whatever the reason is, the governor doesn't seem interested in a legislative action at this, and I think a lot of people are kind of underwhelmed by the executive order. But as we've seen in recent history, the House leadership tends to go along with what the governor wants. Is there any way that it's different this time?
We'll see. I guess it's a short answer there. I've certainly seen the speaker's comments that have been made to the media, but my hope is that those comments were made really prior to seeing, the overwhelming support for action in the upper chamber. And my hope is that the speaker certainly has a change of heart. I was disappointed to see that kind of we're not doing anything but redistricting. My constituents are concerned about redistricting last. They're concerned about losing their job right now. They're concerned about, taking a vaccine that they object to on religious grounds, or concerned about, the vaccine's effect on their health. And at the end of the day, that is what we need to be discussing. I'm just disappointed that the governor didn't at least include it in the call. Just sets an incredibly high bar to get over, but I'm optimistic that we're going to be able to get something done. I've tried to put together a piece of legislation that I think will pass. I know there are some folks that don't think that it goes far enough. I think there are other folks that think, obviously, that it goes too far and they don't want to see anything pass. My goal is to get help to those that need it now, and I think we stand a decent chance of doing that with the legislation I proposed.
Well, I think realistically, you know, you look at you may not get everything you want. It is how this whole game works, though. But it's something that is there. Is that's sort of the approach here, that this gives individuals who object to this vaccine mandate for whatever reason, object to vaccines, a little relief here. I mean, that. Maybe you would have liked to have gone further, but I guess my question to you is, under these circumstances, and you know the body, at least your chamber, better than I would, that is something that is more likely to pass than some of the other measures?
I think it is, and it's specifically designed to that. You know, I think the legislation that I've proposed gives businesses a tool that they're looking for to fight back and push back against the overreaching federal mandate, right? It's giving businesses the opportunity to say, look, in Alabama, we've got to take into account religious exemptions and medical exceptions. We got to take those into account by state law. And I think that's something that will hold up with the feds, because through some administrative code in the EEOC, that's there already too. So it's carefully crafted legislation that I think will actually get help to people, as opposed to this other legislation out there that creates all these additional causes of action and is going to result in all of these lawsuits. They're not good for small businesses and will take forever to handle in the court system. Let's get relief right now to people that are in danger of losing their jobs or have lost their job. I want to fix that right now, and I think we're on track to do that. I appreciate my colleagues' support in the Senate, and I just will call upon the Speaker in the House to consider this measure and give relief to people that need it.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott for his weekly appearance here on the program. Well, you know, in these situations, you would hope, well, this is what the governor wants, or this is what leadership wants, and this is, seems to be where the public is, and then maybe by reflection of that, this is where a lot of other lawmakers are. And then you kind of come in, you go sit down, you hammer something out that may not be please everybody, but you get something. In this case, it just seems to me there's just this is the way we're going to do it. There is not a willingness to even have a discussion or enter into some kind of negotiations just for the hell of it, just to see what you would come up with. And that this is already predetermined and we're not going to proceed. And that is, you know, just to be honest with you, Senator, it feels like that is more of the normal operating procedure when it comes to a lot of this in state government these days, not just this particular issue.
Well, I'm not sure I disagree with you on some issues, but on this one, when you start seeing the breadth and depth of support, especially among the members in the upper chamber, you know, leadership's got to take a moment of pause. They got to look at this and say, this is something we're going to have to deal with. And the same thing in the House. I mean, you know, members are hearing from their constituents who are being laid off. Members are hearing from their constituents who are being forced to take a vaccine that they don't think is good for them, or that they have a religious objection to. And that's just not, it's just not okay. It's not what Republicans in Alabama should stand for. And we are going to push back. And I will say this, I got asked a question the other day about, you know, holding up redistricting bills in order to, you know, press the issue. And while I don't think that's necessary yet, I think that's a tool if we need to go that direction. You know, leadership so far has been working very well and very diligently to accommodate, you know, what members are asking for in the Senate. I applaud them for doing so. I just would encourage the House leadership to do the same, and hopefully we can address this issue along with reapportionment and get out of there next week.
Let's talk about reapportionment. I know you're probably limited on what you can actually say, you know, that it's that because of the threat of a lawsuit. But anyway, it's something that you're considering right now, your reaction to the maps that we've been presented by the committees.
Well, you know, my district was the most overpopulated Senate district in the state. It had to lose, you know, just under 40,000 people. It's pretty significant. You know, we talk about growth in Baldwin County all the time. Well, you know, that doesn't happen in a vacuum. And when we start dealing with, you know, the reapportionment, obviously that's going to impact it. You know, there weren't a lot of options in my district. I've got Florida to the east of me. I've got the Gulf of Mexico to the south of me. And I've got, you know, the Mobile Bay to the west of me. So the only thing I could really do is go south. And that's what the reapportionment committee and the demographers came up with, was moving that line further south. And frankly, I don't know that there are any other options. I'm used to representing the whole of Baldwin County. That's something I've done in the past as a commissioner. I know there's some folks that would like to have me as their senator, and that's very flattering. All I've got to say to those folks is I have always worked for the entirety of Baldwin County. I will continue to do so. And I'll continue to assist those folks in any way that I can. But the numbers are what the numbers are, and that's just, and the line is what the line is. There's not a lot of options there except for to move my district further south, and that's what we're seeing reflected in these maps.
Well, let's talk about this, though. When you bring in new members, and you got, it was like two new House members and a new senator possibly coming in to the fray here in Baldwin County, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't recognize this, but a lot of that, your delegation, your county delegation, does a lot of things with regards to local bills. And those local bills, I mean, maybe it's a proposal for a tax increase to fund schools, or maybe it's something to do with zoning or whatever it may be. But a lot of people don't recognize, you know, the legislature does some things that do impact your local government.
Well, they do a lot of things that impact your local government, and through that local legislation would be a powerful way to deal with that. And, of course, senators, individual senators, essentially have individual veto power on local legislation that can be very, very impactful. You know, and adding additional members to the delegation, you know, there are really two ways to think of that, right? You have, you know, more senators and more House members representing Baldwin County, and does that increase Baldwin County's pull, or do you have more people representing Baldwin County that are not, you know, that don't live in Baldwin County, and is that a bad thing? You know, I guess we'll see is the answer. You know, I've spent the last 4 years doing it with the way we have it, and it looks like with the way the districts are drawn right now, we'll try it a different way and see how that works. But I will say, by and large, our coastal Alabama delegation, be it Republican or Democrat, and I was talking to senator figures on the floor earlier today, we get along really well, and we look out for each other. We look out for coastal Alabama, and I'm optimistic that we will continue to do that together, and that we will continue to be productive for our constituents.
I mean, that's really what it's got to be, because you got a situation, and I spent some time in the Huntsville market, but those guys, even Anthony Daniels and Laura Hall, the two Democrats, they really do bust tail and work together, and that's given them, I think, an advantage, at least in state government, over maybe Birmingham or Montgomery. But it really is getting, when you're in a metropolitan delegation and there are county lines and there's all these things to consider, that you know, you got to figure out a way around party lines and partisanship and kind of come together as one.
You absolutely do. And in order to be effective, that's got to happen. You know, Senator Williams and Senator Sessions, Senator Albritton, and Senator Figures and myself all work very well together. And we work together well with our House delegation, too, already. Whether they've got a piece of Baldwin County or not, it's not as terribly impactful as I think some may think. Now, the addition of another senator is an interesting thing just because of the authority that comes with that veto power on local legislation. But again, I work well with Senator Figures, especially on local issues. We have major policy differences on bigger philosophical issues, but when it comes to local issues, she's usually on the same page that Baldwin County is, and I certainly hope that will continue to be the case.
I mean, a lot of times the state government, particularly the Senate, you see these unanimous votes on a lot of different things that state issues aren't particularly ideological, partisan, or whatever. That they at least under this current legislature, now the House is maybe a little different, but the Senate, it seems to me, is a little more pragmatic in that approach.
Well, I think so, and I think that our the Democrats on the other side of the aisle that I get to deal with, they've got their issues and they've got their things they've got to stand firm on, but they also work pretty well with us, and at the end of the day, there's a super majority in the Senate and in the House of Republicans, and when it's necessary, if there is a logjam, there's always the opportunity of cloture to get to a vote and move the issue. And we've done it before. We try not to use it any more than we have to out of respect for them. But at the end of the day, that's a tool that's available to us and one that can be used. And I think they know that as well.
Senator, we're going to leave it there. We're up against a break here, but you're very kind to come on, and safe travels.
Hey, Jeff, if I can just ask your listeners, call your House members, let them know how important this vaccine mandate ban is, and try to get their leadership to take it up. It's an important issue.
Will do. Thanks for that. State Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Say I got a whole lot of cares in the redneck Riviera. Getting crazy, I'm getting hammered, sitting right here at the Florida Band.